Listen, I'm finally getting back into my series of messages going wrong in a, or going right in a culture gone wrong. I don't want you to go wrong in a culture gone right. I want you to go right in a culture gone wrong. And today I'm going to talk to you about another thing that honestly is really hard for us to deal with, but it's in our headlines, it's in our social media lines, and so we're going to talk about it, and that is this. What do I do when I don't like our choices for president? What do I do? What do we do when we as Christians, we stand up and we look at our candidates and we say, gosh, not really what I can get behind morally, integrity, or whatever. I can't really get behind these candidates. What do I do? You know, I think one of the greatest lies that we have fallen for in our nation is this, that there is a separation of church and state. And therefore, the church needs to shut up when it comes to politics. You know, as a pastor, I've always been troubled at this time in our history, every 4 years, when we elect presidents, because I have heard for years that we have to be quiet when it comes to politics and stay out of that scene. Well, the problem with that is this, is while the church has become more silent, it has also become more accepting. While the church has remained silent on many of the topics, what we have done is we become conditioned to the world instead of being an influencer in the world and really being the conditioner of the world. God has called us to be light and salt. He's called us to affect the world, but we have fallen for a great lie that separation of church and state only means that you and I shut up. That's what it's been taught in our nation, and we as churches and as pastors have fallen in line with that. I remember back in 1988, George Bush Sr. ran, and I think he ran against Dukakis. Was that in 88 when he ran against Dukakis? All right. And I remember the newspaper, Toledo Blade. I was in Delta, Ohio at that time, and I remember the Toledo Blade put out a full-page ad, and it put on there about candidates, okay? And they had one ad of all the Democratic candidates, and they had one ad of all the Republican candidates, all page. I mean, I ripped out the page of the Republican, and I stuck it up on the wall of my office, the outside wall, all right? And I taped it up there, and there's Bush with Quayle and all these Republicans. I didn't even know about half of the Republican senators. I didn't know who they were. My first election was 1980 with Ronald Reagan, and so I'd only been voting a while, but I grew up in a political home, so I paid attention to this stuff, and I stuck it on the wall of the church office, so when people walked down the hall, they would see this big page. I started getting complaints. I remember I was 27, 28 years old, and I started getting all these complaints, and an elder came to me and said, Rod, don't you think you should take that down? And I said, no, I don't. And they said, well, Rod, what about church and state and all that kind of stuff? And I said, well, yeah, I understand that, but no, I think we need to talk about this stuff. And an elder politely took it off my wall. And so I remember that sticking with me, thinking, what a great scheme of the enemy. If I can convince the church to shut up, to not talk about this stuff, I can help the church remain ignorant. And if I can help the church remain ignorant, they might actually believe what I want them to believe. So today, while I'm not going to talk to you about Donald Trump or Hillary Clinton, I am going to talk to you about some things that we need to understand that's going on out there. Okay? This idea of the separation of church and state has been bought hook, line, and sinker until now it's become the norm, and the church has not only stopped talking about politics, but we have fear in talking about politics. We don't bring it up in our services. We encourage others not to stand up or speak out. We just silently sit by and we say, well, vote your conscience and pray. And I'm not going to say that, because your conscience may be wrong. And I'm not going to tell you to vote your conscience. I'm going to tell you to line your conscience up with the values of God And then, if you want to vote your conscience, that's awesome. But we're not called to vote our conscience. We're called to vote according to God. I want you to understand that. That's not what you're used to hearing, is it? You want me to stand up here and say, it's time to land on runway happiness? We're going to talk about what God sees, all right? And what God wants. And we're called to vote that way, okay? We are. So some of your consciences are screwed up, all right? I mean, I'm sorry if that hurts your feelings, but that's what the Holy Spirit's for, is to get your conscience in line with the Father, okay? Sometimes we think, well, that's what I feel. And I go, well, what you feel is wrong, according to God, not according to Rod, all right? I want you to know, if this was a sermon according to Rod, you'd hear names, all right? I want you to know that. You'd hear names, and you'd hear a lot of stuff, but I'm sure you probably know my leanings, right? Okay, should I preach like this all day? So anyway, I want you to know that what our goal is to get our conscience on the same track as God's conscience. Now, the problem with this is that most of us are lazy voters, all right? We simply vote according to the ways our parents taught us or the ways that is popular or that we read on Facebook. Now, I know this may shock you. You've heard me say this before in this series, and this is really hard for some of you to understand, but Facebook isn't always the truth, right? I mean, I know sometimes we take it as gospel, but it's really not. Sometimes there are wiggity-wiggity whack people out on Facebook, and I don't know how they should be allowed access to a computer, okay? But somehow they snuck out of the crazy bin and they got one, all right? I want you to know that Facebook isn't always true. Here's another thing, you ready? Wikipedia. The only part of encyclopedia that means is the pedia. Nothing about it, all right, can be trusted. Be careful with Wikipedia. And the reason I say that is because I can write something in Wikipedia and publish it on Wikipedia, and you might read it and think it's gospel, and I could say, you know, so-and-so is also, you know, related to Adolf Hitler. And next thing you know, on Facebook, it'd be, I just read. So we have to be careful of just accepting and taking the pablum. We've become lazy voters. We've become people who are just waiting for someone else to tell them who to vote for. I'm not going to do that today, all right? I'm not going to say this is who you should vote for. This is what I'm going to tell you. We need to practice slow politics. In other words, we need to renew our minds and become obedient to Christ by careful study and deliberately thinking about the issues facing our society and understanding what God thinks of that issue and then vote accordingly. That takes some work. We don't memorize. We don't vote by party. I'll be honest, I used to vote by party, but then I noticed one thing. Boy, there are as many crazy on the right side as there are on the left side. If you understand how they truly stand, not what they say, but how they stand, in other words, I get behind candidates' words and I find out how do they really vote? Where do they really send their money? What's really important to them? All right? You can tell me one thing, but if I see the actions of your life not lining up, I'd say, well, you lied to me. And I know this may. Even Republicans lie. No, I know. I found that out last week. I was blown away. Right? I want you to understand that we have to look behind people's words. Okay? Find out what they really do. You can take that two ways. All right? Find out what they really do. What do they really vote for? What do they really give money to? What do they really stand for? Really, not just what they tell you today. Okay? Because they lie. So we need to get a little bit more understanding of who they are. So here's what I want you to get. I want you to first of all understand why government is here. I didn't put this in my notes. I got thinking about it later. I thought, you know, if I asked our congregation, if I said, why do you think we have government? We'd probably get a lot of answers. But did you know that God really established the first government? And he established it for two reasons. One was justice, And the other was the common good of the people. All right? When God established the government, he did it, you can see, in Deuteronomy, just before they went into the promised land. And he talked about the idea of setting up judges to properly judge the people so that there might be a common good for all the people, and justice will take place for those who are being oppressed or abused or misused. I remember back in 2006, Bono from the Irish lead singer from U2 spoke at the National Prayer Breakfast. And I thought it kind of odd that he did that, but I thought it was really interesting what he said. He said this. He said, "It's not about charity, after all, is it? It's about justice. And that's too bad, because we're good at charity. Americans, like the Irish, are good at it. We like to give, and we give a lot for even those who can't afford it. They even give. But it's really about justice, because justice is the higher standard." Here's what I want you to get. The Bible teaches very clearly that government was established so that justice might be achieved. We have government for justice, not for charity, not for handouts, not for making sure that everything is fair, because justice is not always fair, but justice is the standard of God. And so we first of all must understand that government is here for justice and the good, not the equal, but the good of all mankind. Of its society. Our government is here to help maintain justice. God's already established justice, by the way, but to help maintain justice and also to help maintain the good of all the people. It's not here to make sure everybody lives equal lives. It's not here for fairness. Fairness, this is not going to sound popular, fairness is a lie. There is no such thing as fairness. We try to do it. That's why Junior and Buffy all get a trophy, no matter if they never scored a point their whole life, they still get the trophy. And we call that fairness. Now, here's why that's not right. Boy, am I really jumping away from my notes right here. But parents, I want you to understand this especially, okay? The reason it's not right is because all you're doing is setting your child up for failure. Because I want you to get this. Your boss doesn't care about fairness. He may say it, but he doesn't. If you don't do your job, you're fired. Now, I know that some of you have a hero worship complex because you're errantly San Francisco 49er fans of Colin Kaepernick. And I'm sure these past few weeks, you've questioned your loyalty of Colin Kaepernick because he has shown that he errs on the side of stupidity. All right? And so you look at that and you go, wow, I thought he was something different. Okay? And Colin Kaepernick is standing for a lie in our doctrine, of our national doctrine, of fairness, okay? Now, here's what I want you to get out. The reason I bring that up is this. That God intended the rulers of Israel to execute justice and to avoid corruption and protect the poor and the weak in society by the exploitation of evil and power. And that looks many different ways. It can look, as Colin Kaepernick is standing against, it can look in the picture of racist cops. I know this, you know, a lot of staunch right-wing conservatives don't want to hear this, but there are such things as racist cops. And they do stupid things. And I don't want them representing me. Okay? At the same time, there are such things as, and I shared this a few weeks ago when I talked about racism, there are such things as racist minorities. and they do stupid things. And I don't want them representing America. Either one of them. I don't want them representing this nation. At the same time, I am not ignorant and stupid enough to believe that all blacks or all Mexicans or all Asians or all whatever color you want to put on their skin that way, just like I'm not stupid enough to believe that all government representatives or all cops or whatever are all that way. There are extremes. The problem in our nation is that we put extremes to the forefront and everybody thinks that's what I must believe. So when I talk about justice, when I talk about, you know, standing against evil and corruption, things like that, I want you to get this. I'm not talking about the extremes. I know this may shock you, but there are more extreme conservatives, much more extreme conservatives than Donald Trump, and there are much more extreme liberals than Hillary Clinton. Much more. They go farther to the left and farther to the right. Okay? And I am not a fool to believe that everything to the right is godly and everything to the left is ungodly. Okay? I do not believe that. But what I want you to understand is that we are a nation in trouble. And we're in trouble for a lot of reasons. We're in trouble because the church has believed the lie of separation of church and state, and we've kept our mouth shut, and so therefore, we've grown up generations in the church of ignorant voters. We've grown people up who have accepted the vomit that comes off of our televisions as gospel. Well, that's the truth. You can't put it on TV without being truthful, right? Can't be on Facebook without being truthful, right? My parents could never have been wrong, right? So we have accepted that. So we had allowed our world to eat Twinkies instead of protein. That's what we've done. So I think that's one reason why our nation is in trouble. I think another reason our nation is in trouble is because extremes grow. Now, what I mean by that is left extremes don't just take on more left. They take on more middle. And right extremes don't just take on more right. They take on more middle. And what I mean by that is we begin to take over areas that we should understand as something that maybe God doesn't speak clearly on, and we should be able to find agreement. We begin to take it over. And what we do is we accept things that God would definitely not find agreement on. As, well, that's the way it is in our country. Now, I'm going to try to give you an example. This is not my notes. I'm going to try to give you an example. You know what I noticed about television? I noticed that one thing happens in television. Like, I like the show Vikings. I don't just mean the Minnesota Vikings. I like, boy, they're a show, aren't they? But I like the show Vikings. They're on History Channel, I think. Now, Vikings show the same show twice on a Tuesday night when it's on. Now, the 7 o'clock one doesn't have any cuss words, doesn't show any bare rear ends, doesn't show the gruesomeness of many of the attacks and battles and things like that. It cleans it up at 7 o'clock, okay? And then the 10 o'clock one, they have all the cuss words, and they do share bare rear ends, and they do show the gruesomeness of it. And I looked at stats one time, just wanted to see which one people watch the most, and the later one is the one they watch the most. By a very high percentage compared to the earlier one, right? And what I thought was this. There was a day when even the earlier one would have never been accepted in our society. We would never have accepted it. We would have said, oh my word, that can't be. That should be in a cinema and it should be rated R and on and on and on, right? We would have done that. But now it's easily into our living room. Now, I know this may shock you, and you're going to disagree with me, but I want you to hear me. Inside of 5 years, full frontal nudity will be on television in your living room. It'll happen. Because that's where we're going. Unless someone, somehow, raises up and stops it. That's where we're going, people. You know where else we're going? This is where we're going. You don't want to believe it. This is where we're going. We are going to be voting in our house on bills that will introduce euthanasia in our nation. They have been cut out at times, but there have been many bills which have not passed. You know, have you ever heard of line item veto? What line item veto is this? Is when a bill comes, the president can look at it and say, it's got 29 line items. Now, congressmen are not stupid. This is what they'll do. They'll say, we want to help all the disadvantaged chihuahuas in the world. And we want to give all the disadvantaged chihuahuas a bowl of food and a new collar. Now, who's going to argue to help chihuahuas? All right, they're a helpless little rat that's called a dog. And who wouldn't want to help a chihuahua? I mean, and so they'll put that on there, and that's the one that's publicized. And so that's like, let's say that's line one, all right? We want to help all the chihuahuas of the world. And everybody says, oh, we're such a kind government. We love our animals. Yay, us. But what we don't understand is line 17 might say this. We want to kill all the chihuahuas that have blue eyes. It may not even say that. It may say, we want to kill all the beagles with blue eyes. But that's included in the helping the chihuahuas part. We cannot say, I'll pass all this except line 17. That's called line item veto. We don't allow that. And so these bills come through. And so people see that, and the ones that actually read it, not every congressman, I know that shocks you, but not everybody reads them. But when they read it, they're reading and going, oh, yeah, I like chihuahuas. I'll help out chihuahuas. Oh, yeah, look at that. They're going to give them yellow collars. And, oh, this is neat, and it's going to be, you know, Purina One, not that cheap stuff. Whatever, I don't know. And it's going to go down, and all of a sudden they're going to see line 17, and it's going to say, we want to kill beagles with blue eyes. And they go, well, I'm not going to pass this. And so they vote no on it. And then what comes out of our government and then what comes through our news agency is this congressman doesn't love chihuahuas. Not going to help out chihuahuas. They hate chihuahuas. How could you vote for that congressman who hates chihuahuas? Now, really what the congressman is saying, no, I dig chihuahuas. They're cool. Shouldn't be called a dog, but they're cool. They're more of a gerbil, all right? But they're cool, all right? But my problem is I don't like killing blue-eyed beagles. But see, that doesn't get publicized. That doesn't get taught. That doesn't get expressed. All it gets expressed is this congressman hates chihuahuas. Now, just so you know, there have been bills that sounds like certain congressmen or congresswomen or whatever are against certain bills when actually because there's been line items in there that have to do with, truthfully, in our nation, euthanasia. Did you know that? There have been laws that have been proposed in the United States of America that include in it the idea of killing off people that we deem and we judge are not worthy to live. Now, how do we get that through this nation? How do we pass it? Well, we start indoctrinating. We began indoctrination in this nation years ago. You know how our nation indoctrinates? They do it through television. Did you know that? Television is the number one media in our nation. And so we have shows, stick with me, like Survivor, which says you can judge who's worthy to be on the island and who's not. You can judge. This is why we have reality shows, and they call them reality shows, which, by the way, are far from reality. All right, I don't know about you, but I haven't had to drink my own urine lately. You? Any of you? No? They're far from reality, okay? So we put those out there as reality. Why are they called reality shows? Why? Why? Think about it, people. I'm not paranoid. I'm intelligent enough to look past Facebook. I do my study. I look at this and go, you can see how it ties together. All you have to do is look, what is the number one indoctrination in our nation? It's the entertainment industry. It's not even our education industry, which, by the way, is going the way of entertainment. Pop culture has more influence on our education than right and wrong. Did you know that? All you got to do is look. I told you this is not going to be fun. The Bible says, back in 2 Chronicles, there's a passage in the 7th chapter. It's the time when Solomon was completing the temple of God in Jerusalem, and Israel was coming back to God, but there have been a lot of things that God had seen in the nation of Israel that they were not living according to God. They were living in great disarray, in great disagreement with God. And God put this verse in there. He said, but if my people who are called by my name, which is God's people, Israel, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. Notice that one, turn from their wicked ways. I'll hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and restore their land. I want you to get this and I'm going to move on. Yes, that's for Israel. That has nothing to do with the United States, but it sure does show God's character. I don't believe there's anybody, any nation that's out of the reach of God. I don't believe that. Now, are there nations that God will finally say, I'm done? Yeah. He's shown that in the past. All right? All right. So what do? First thing is we trust. Bible says in Romans 8, the Holy Spirit helps us in our weaknesses. For example, we don't know what God wants us to pray for, but the Holy Spirit helps by taking our groanings and our words to the Father. In other words, what the Holy Spirit does is it takes for us before the Father the groanings of our heart that we ourselves can't put words on. So what that tells me is this. There's going to be some of it we don't understand and we don't know what to do. And when it comes to this election, we might be looking at this, pulling out our hair. God, who do you want me to vote for? What do you want me to do here, God? And I want you to understand this. It starts with trust. And here's the best trust statement I can give you, and we're going to move on. And that is this. Even in the midst of all this garbage, Jesus is still king. It ought to put something in perspective for the believer. It ought to put something in our mind. Whoever becomes president, Jesus remains king. Now, I'm not saying elections aren't important, because they are. They always are. There's a lot at stake. But in truth, they're not near as important as they like to make themselves out to be. Okay? I want you to hear me on this before we go on. I know we think that the United States is the ambassador to the world and we're the most powerful nation and all that kind of stuff. And I think that's great. We should have a lot of national pride, stand up during the national anthem, just a concept. All right. Anyway, I won't go on. I got a couple Colin Kaepernick jokes I'd love to share with you someday. But anyway, all that kind of stuff. We should have national pride. Don't get me wrong. We should. But I want you to get this. We're not going to save the world. Only God is. Okay? And I really appreciate people who go into public office and are willing to live this open life in a glass house, all that kind of stuff. I appreciate that because I myself would not do it. Okay? I wouldn't run for president. I was asked when I first moved here, would I ever consider running for mayor? And it took me like 3 days to stop laughing. Seriously. Like, are you kidding? I'll tell you what, just give me 12 root canals and we'll call it even. No, I won't run. I won't do that stuff. Okay? So I admire them if they'll do that. I think that's really great because they put themselves out there in a way that you and I have never experienced, and I think that's great. But at the same time, I don't count on them to save me. I don't count on them to save this nation. Can they make some decisions that can maybe bring us back from the edge a little bit? You bet. But I want to tell you something. The church is as much the reason for bringing us down this slippery slope as any crooked politician that we've had in that White House. It's because we've stopped looking to God. It's because we've stopped crying out to Him. It's because we haven't repented in generations. We don't talk about repentance. You know why? That's an ugly word. We don't call them sins anymore. We call them mistakes. We don't talk about worldliness. We talk about how our culture's influenced us and all that kind of stuff. And I want to tell you, it is time to wake up about your life and my life. When we live contrary to God, we are living in sin. We're not living in rebellion. We're living in sin. We're choosing to have a different God besides the one of King Almighty that sits on a throne. And we got to call it what it is, and we got to say, are we going to live according to God or not? Stop trying to blend God with the world. It doesn't work. And after a while, he'll call you on it. God doesn't want to blend in. God stands out, and so should we. And yeah, it might be considered radical to the world. Let me tell you something. I got news for you. It's normal to God. You're not called to live a radical life. You're called to live a godly life. That's not radical. That should be normal for you and I. Our problem is we've made it extraordinary. We look at it and say, wow, that person's so godly. No, that person's living the way God told them, and we're not. We're living against the ways of God. You know, when I say we, I could be preaching to a mirror all day. All right. God is king. Second, we need to pray. Bible says in 1 Timothy, I urge you, first of all, to pray for all the people. Ask God to help them. Intercede on their behalf. Give thanks for them. Pray this way for kings and all who are in authority so that we can live peaceful and quiet lives marked by godliness and dignity. This is good, and it pleases God our Savior, who wants everyone to be saved. Notice that part about pray for the kings. I want to tell you something. I've done that pretty well in my life, but I'm not going to lie to you. These last 7 years, that's been really hard for me. I'm not going to lie, okay? You obviously know which way I lean. So this guy has been the hardest guy for me to like. Someone, I think it was my son-in-law one day, asked, wouldn't it be cool to be invited to the White House even now? And I said, no. And he said, well, Rod, you know, I know he's, you know, you don't agree with him, but he's considered one of the most powerful men in the world. And I said, I'm going to be honest, okay, not that I've been lying to this point. I shouldn't have said that, right? Okay, I wouldn't cross the street. I know that sounds terrible. That's how much I've disliked that guy. I've never had this amount of, even when Clinton was in office, I didn't have this amount of dislike. I really didn't. Now, that may be confessionary to you. You may not like it. Maybe you love the guy. That's okay. That's what America's all about. You can be wrong. I can be right. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. All right? Hang tough. All right? I told you this would not be an easy subject. Just take it easy. I'm trying to throw a little humor in. All right? We can disagree on that. I can live with that. But I have not liked that guy. And so, I'll be honest, for a few years, it was really hard for me to pray for him, except that maybe he'd get lost and he'd never find the White House again. You know, seriously, you know, I'm not lying, all right? So I was praying, and one day God just said, no, you got to pray that... This is what he said, and this is what God really laid out to me. I'm serious. He said, no, you got to pray until you love him. It's like, whoo! Jesus, you want to come back tomorrow, please, or today, this afternoon, now, whatever, because, wow, I figure once I go to heaven, I probably don't have to pray anymore, and then I wanted to pray that. Yeah, that's a rough one. It's hard. Yeah, I'm still praying. I'm not lying. All right, I know I'm not supposed to say this stuff in church. I know that. I'm not trying to be offensive. I'm really not. I just want you to know it's hard. Well, God knows that. Still got to pray for him. Now, here's why. Because prayer is the only answer. We got to pray for our nation. We need to pray for repentance. We need to pray for awakening. And we need to pray for protection. Protect us from other nations and protect us from ourselves. We need to be informed. We need to have integrity. And we need to vote convictions. And we need to ask God to line our convictions up with his. I have convictions. Believe it or not, a pastor's not supposed to say this, but not all of them line up with God. There's still some of mine in there. I still got some worldliness in there, you know? I have convictions. But then I look at God and I go, you know what? I don't think he would behave this way, or I don't think he would say this, or I don't think he would feel this way. And what do? Well, I can either say, well, you know, that's just one of those things, or I can say, no, I shouldn't have any of those things, so I'm going to try to get in line with the Father. Next thing is vote. I'm encouraging you to vote. Charles Hayden Spurgeon said this, of the two evils, choose none. And a lot of Christians nowadays are quoting that, and they're saying, I believe they're both evil, so I'm not going to choose any, and I'm not going to vote. I want to tell you that I think that's a big mistake. I think that's a big mistake. So get by the personalities, get by the stupid statements. And here, I'm going to give you four things to vote for. Vote for life, all right? Vote for those who protect human life, whether it be an abortion, all the way through, you know, from womb to tomb, that protect human life. Vote for life, okay? That's what I want to encourage you to do. Two, vote for those that you believe would put, yes, godly Christian values, Supreme Court justices. Okay? There are a couple. We have a few on there. We have a few that said they were, and then once we see them, they're not. Okay? So understand, vote for somebody, because I want you to understand that we're going to be putting, obviously, one of the first acts of the next president is going to be replacing one of our Supreme Court justices. Okay? Vote for national security. That doesn't just mean a wall. Okay? Our nation is not secure for a lot of reasons. It doesn't just mean a wall. We like to talk about that, and especially, you know, Western and Southern states really talk about that a lot, you know. Everything from Texas all the way to California, they talk about a wall. But I want to let you know that it's much more than that. And finally, here's one we don't often think of. Vote for Israel. I want you to hear God's covenant with Abram. Abram, not Abraham. Abraham wasn't around yet. He hadn't changed his name yet. God hadn't changed his name. Abram. Go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land I'll show you. I'll make you a great nation. I'll bless you. Make your name great so you'll be a blessing. Verse 3, Genesis 2, clear back here. I will bless those who bless you. And him who dishonors you, I'll curse. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Now, here's what I want you to get. God made a covenant with Abram. And he said, listen, I'm going to give you a family that is going to be, you're going to have so many people, your nation's going to be greater than any nation. You're going to, stars among, you know, count the stars, sand in the sea, and all that. That's how many you're going to have. And then he said this, listen, I want to let you know that my goal is for your people to be a blessing to the world, and that anybody blesses you, I'll bless them. In our time, in the last 250 years, that is the United States. We're one of them, one of the very few in this world. There is not a nation that is more hated than Israel. I know a lot of times we like to think we are, but we run second. Israel is the most hated nation in the world. And when we stand with them, we stand in line to receive the honor of God, the blessings of God. And so you and I have lived freely because of the hand of God. We have been the most productive nation since our beginning because of the hand of God. We've been the most wealthy nation since our beginning because of the hand of God, not because we got it all together. You have lived in the most comfortable nation in the world because of the hand of God. That's because God is blessing this nation because of how we bless Israel. Now, here's the deal. When we pull our hand off of Israel and no longer bless Israel, I really believe God will lift his hand off America. And I believe inside of a couple generations, we will be a third world country. Believe it or not, all this will go away. Freedom was brought to us by God, and when he leaves, freedom leaves. Do you understand that? We are not so powerful that we cannot be overtaken. God is the only one that will not be overtaken. Okay? So vote according to Israel as well. Understand where people stand with Israel. And don't just take their word for it, please. Get behind and find out what they've supported, what they voted for, how they've stood on things to do with Israel. Don't be ignorant. Just because they're Republican does not mean they stand with Israel. And just because they're a Democrat does not mean they stand against Israel. Find out what they stand for. Israel needs to be elevated in the church of the United States of America. Don't sell that short. There is a sovereign blessing attached to it. My last two points are simply, the president will not save us. I kind of touched on that. And keep on praying. I got off on a lot of tangents. I could talk about this for days, weeks, months, I don't know.
Years.
Hey, when you start learning, I'll move on to a different topic. Anyway. Love telling kids that. Anyway. You know, back in February, we had Ted Cruz, one of the presidential candidates. He was here. Remember that? If you're a part of Journey, Ted Cruz got right up on that stage and spoke. That was really cool, all that. And, you know, we were asked. They called us and said, could we use your church? And we said yes. I was asked by a pastor in Reno, do you fear equal time? Like, do you have to call Hillary's campaign or whatever and say, hey, since we had Ted Cruz here, we have to allow you to stand up? And I said, no, we don't have that because we're not a media. We don't put them out on the radio airwaves, or we didn't ask them to come, nothing like that. We didn't have that responsibility at all because they asked us, they're really using our church. They're not saying, Rod, would you as pastor and as Journey, would you guys endorse me so I can put that on my campaign? Endorsed by Journey Community Church of Fernley. That'd have been funny, by the way. Anyway, people going, Fernley? Where's that at? You know? It would have been funny, but it wouldn't have done them any good. And that wasn't really the case. But here's what I want you to get on that. One of the things I loved about Ted Cruz, and I still do to this day, I was bummed, you know, he got beat and things. I like the guy. I know everybody has different opinions. I like the guy. His personality was a little rough, but I liked what he stood, and I really liked where he stood on the Bible and on Israel. I like that about him. Could he have been different in some areas? Yep. But I like that about Ted Cruz, and so that's why I got behind him. My family, on the other hand, staunch conservatives. I mean, my brother was 12 years old, and he worked on the Nixon campaign in 68. That's the kind of home I was raised in, okay? And so, staunch conservatives, and my family, on the other hand, were big Marco Rubio guys, okay? And they liked Marco Rubio. And they asked me one day, it was right after Cruz was here, why do you like Cruz over Rubio? And I said, I think Rubio is a player. I think Rubio is an establishment guy. I think he's a guy that's already in bed in politics, okay? I feel like Ted Cruz has shown, because I looked behind his rhetoric and I looked at his activity, he has shown he can't be bought even by the Republicans. He can't be bought. I will not do that because I'll stand against it. So my brother thought, yeah, whatever. Okay, and sure enough, it came around to the Republican National Convention, and if you remember, a lot of these former candidates that called, you know, Donald Trump Satan, all right, all of a sudden are getting up and talking about gay Trump, he's the greatest for America, all this kind of junk, until it came to Cruz. And if you remember Cruz's speech, if you listen to it, you'll find that he did not say he's Satan, but at the same time, he didn't say, and I'm endorsing it. He just said, what our nation needs, and he talked about biblical values, and he talked about remaining strong with Israel, and he talked about, I can't remember the third thing, it was like God-honoring thing, and I was listening to it. I didn't listen to it live. I watched it online later, and I wanted to say this about all that. He's right. You and I can't get caught up into the personalities or even the parties of these people. We need to be caught up in God. We need to get our focus off the office and get caught up in God and say, God, what is it that you want? What do I stand for you? And we do the absolute best with what we have. We do the absolute best with what we have. Years ago, I was taking apart a golf club. Now I have a heat gun. It looks like a hairdryer, gets really, really hot. Then I used a little blowtorch thing, you know, a little thing that had a little canister of gas to it. And you turn it up and you get the flame hot and you sit there and do it, right? And this was simple. It was not a hard thing. There was this club in a vise on my workbench and I'm blowing it down and I got distracted by something and I turn around and the papers on my workbench were on fire. Could happen to anybody. So they're on fire. Now, I do not operate in a way that the fire department would be happy with me. I do not have a fire extinguisher in my house, in my garage, nothing. Now, I could have said, I don't have a fire extinguisher. Got to let the house burn down. Step back. Honey, we're moving. Let's not waste the hot dogs, right? Could have, because I didn't have the exact instrument that you need to put out a fire. But obviously, I wanted to save the house. I wanted to do the best I could, right? So I took some of Gay's stuff and threw it on the fire. I'm kidding. I don't remember what I took, but I just remember I found something and I put out the fire on my workbench, all right? Didn't catch my wood workbench, except for a little spot. So I replaced that, let Gay think it was something else. No, that piece is rotting, so I bought a new piece of wood, put it in there. Truthfully, could have burned down the whole house. Listen, we're not going to have the perfect candidate. We're not going to have the exact instrument to put this fire out. We're not going to have it. We don't have it. Neither one of those candidates are the perfect ones. I get it. I understand that. We would like Moses and Jesus combined with maybe a little of Barnabas in there so he sounds nice behind this podium, right? We would. I think some of us wouldn't even vote for Jesus. But anyway, we would like that, but we don't have it. We don't have it. But you work with what you have. Understand what the values of God are and vote accordingly. Life, Supreme Court justices, because they will make other moral decisions for our nation. All right? Huh? Someone say something over here? Big time. Thanks, Gay. Should put that in my notes. All right? Israel. Okay? Huh? And protect our borders. Understand what God says about that and do it. Do it. Pay attention to that stuff. Get to know these guys beyond what they say or what they write. All right? That's what I want to encourage us as Christians to do. I think, honestly, I think a lot of this fire can be put out when the church rises up. We may not have lit the fire, but we've ignored it. We've ignored it. We got to quit ignoring it. We got to do something about it. Okay? You do not have the choice not to vote. You don't have that choice. There's too many people that died in this world so that we can take a little time out of our life, go down to the high school, and vote. That's a big privilege. We stop voting, pretty soon we won't get to vote. Don't think I'm an alarmist. For those of you over 50, you see things today that 30 years ago you said, that'll never be in this country. That won't happen here. maybe other nations, not here. That progression or degression, and truthfully, in many ways, it hasn't stopped. It's only accelerated. And what does the church do? We just keep pulling back. We just keep, well, I'll pray for them. Well, you know, they may be that way, but I'm not going to be that way. But that's their choice to go to hell in a handbasket, you know? And we are never called. Never once has God said, let people go to hell. Let people destroy. Never once. God has called the church. You be salt. You be light. You stand up. Let's stand up. And why don't we stand up and stand up?